and once she finds your place, let's stand together. Chapter number 16 tonight of the book of Acts. Enjoyed the good singing tonight. I like songs that glorify and edify the Lord. We need that in our day. I believe too many men being edified, and the Lord's not being edified enough. We need to lift Him up, glorify Him, magnify Him. Last night, I preached a message that was somewhat unusual, I guess, and I preached on don't let the stink stop you. And I talked about those things in life that sometimes stink, but you got to get past them and go on for God if you're going to see God do a work in your life. Well, tonight I want to continue a little bit of that same thought, not the message, but I don't know why. I just feel in my heart that this is the direction that the Lord would want me to go tonight. And as you travel, and let me say this tonight, I don't say this because I'm somebody, but as you travel a lot, this year I guess sometime 25 to 30 churches, you find out that a lot of people have lost their joy. And I'm amazed how many Baptist churches have lost their shout. Folks are going through the motions. Seem like just filling up time. But I believe that if we're going to have a church that glorifies God, that we're going to have to come into His courts with thanksgiving. We've got to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And I believe it's still all right for Baptist folk to praise God. It's still all right to worship God. Amen. I can't stand a dead service. Now, I know we don't shout all the time, but I want to let the devil know I'm subject to it. One fella said he'd shout at the drop of a hat, and nobody else would drop it, he'd drop it. Amen. I was in a meeting one time, and I was talking about that, and a lady come to me, meaning well. And she said, "Preacher, the reason I don't shout, I'll just be honest, I don't feel worthy to shout." I said, "Ma'am, you think I'm worthy?" I said, "I'm not shouting because I'm worthy." I said, "I'm not shouting because of something I've done." I said, "But I'm rejoicing because of what He's done, and He's worthy, and He deserves all of my praise." Amen. Praise God, I can rejoice over Him. I mean, I can take 5 minutes right now and shout for 5 minutes just over Him. I don't even need Him to do anything else. I can shout out what He's already done. Matter of fact, I'm feeling a little better now. If He don't ever do anything, I can still shout over Him. Brother Don, I appreciate the way you lead a choir. You put yourself in it, buddy. I like that. I know it's God, but I'll tell you this, you have to be willing to be used. Folk have to be excited about what they do. I love you, buddy. I appreciate your excitement for the Lord. Praise God, I like that. That trio right there, man, listen, that was good. It's a good singing. God's bless you with good singing. You be thankful. You say, "Well, preacher, some things just joyful noise." All noise isn't joyful. You ought to try to preach after some of it. You know what I'm talking about. It's exactly right. I believe God gave people talent. Right? To use for the Lord. If you ain't got the talent, don't use it. That's right. Amen. I know folk get kind of bent out of shape about that, but I believe it. I believe God gives all folk talent to be used. Brother Don, I appreciate you and that trio using yours tonight. Them young folk tonight, wasn't that good? All them kids right there tonight. A lot of them probably got mom and dads don't go to church, families don't serve God. That's the crowd we try to reach around Calvary. Amen? We run buses and my desire is to empty them. We try to hint to them every week. You know what we do? We get them youngins in. We find out where mom and daddy lives. We go out to mom and daddy. Mom and daddy get saved. Kids don't ride the bus no more. Mom and daddy drives them in. We put somebody else in that seat. Can I get a witness? People ask me how we growing. That's the way we're growing, winning sinners. And keeping the Spirit of God excited. Amen. All right, you with me? Acts 16 tonight, verse number 22. Amen. Acts 16 tonight, verse number 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into an inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas whined, began to complain, murmur against God. I've always thought Paul was a Baptist, but after reading this, man, I guess he is. Hallelujah. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'm going to read that last statement again. And the prisoners heard them. Now you know this story. I'm not going to read all of it tonight. But you notice here a little farther in this passage that a man is ready to take his life because he knows that if he's lost those prisoners, he's going to die himself. And the Apostle Paul addresses him and he simply says to him, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." I want to preach tonight, and I've preached out of this passage many times. But tonight, with the help of God, I want to preach on this thought, a song in the night. A song in the night. I have people tell me they're burning out. I have people tell me they've lost their joy. I have people tell me that they no longer are excited. Well, can I say this to you? That's not God's fault. God has not moved. He's immutable. God does not move. If we don't have a song, it's not God's fault. If we don't have joy, it's not God's fault. If we're not praising God, it's not God's fault. Friend, I'm telling you, you and I can have a song in the night. Preach on that thought tonight and carrying along with last night. Now I want to say this tonight and I'll be nice saying it. I don't have time for people that quit because a little something went wrong. I preach meetings a lot of times year after year in a church and you get to know people and you get to remember faces. And when they're missing, you'll ask the pastor, "Where's so-and-so? Where's that brother that sung the choir last year? Where's that fella that played an instrument? Or where's that family that sat there on the right?" "Well, preacher, they're not coming right now." "Well, what's wrong?" "Well, preacher, they just kind of lost their joy." Don't you listen to me. Listen before you're seated. I'm going somewhere. Listen to me. There is a crowd in every church that has been extremely faithful through the years. Your pastor is one. There are others that have been very faithful. And yet they've continued on. They've kept on shouting. They've kept on praising God. They've kept on enjoying the Lord. They've kept on singing the song. My question is, what's different between that crowd and those that quit? Is it the same God? Is it the same Holy Ghost? Is it the same grace? What would make Paul sing in prison and Job in sackcloth and all in ashes praise God, but others lose their soul? How do some people get past the stink while others never follow God? I'm feeling a witness of the Holy Ghost. Can I say this tonight before you're seated? You better be glad tonight that God didn't give up on you and Jesus didn't quit. Hey, coming down from the Via Dolorosa, beat and bloody and battered, aren't you glad He didn't throw in the towel and quit on you and I? He could have quit and He's still been God. I'll say one more thing before you're seated. He could have let you go to hell and He'd have still been God. But instead, He finished the course. I'm going to preach on a song in the night. Some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. You're in this building. The devil's been robbing you for a while of your soul. There's a time you got in it more than you do now. A little more shout than you used to have. You had a little spring in your step when you knew you was going to church. Boy, the devil's turned the heat up. He's fighting you. Don't misunderstand me. We'll weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And I don't come to church every time, jump up and down and holler. There's times I come in, fall on my face on the altar and just beg God for mercy. But I don't ever want to lose my soul. Amen. Dr. Billy Canoy said he'd been in the deep end way too long to go out in the shallow end when he left this world. So let's pray that God will help us tonight. Boy, it'd be great tonight if somebody get their song in the night back. And I'm going to show you why you need it in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the good Spirit of God tonight. I thank You for this dear man of God and his precious wife. Thank You for the first family of this church. Thank You for their faithfulness of these years. Thank You that they still have their shout, their song. I thank You, Father, tonight for those that have been faithful. I think about with Mr. Newton, the songwriter, through many dangers, toils, and trials. Hallelujah. We have already come. Grace hath brought us this far, and grace will take us home. Father, I pray, anoint the service. Touch Your servant. God, I pray, Lord, help somebody to take their harp at the willow tree and play it one more time for the Lord. We'll thank You for what You do for us in Jesus' name. And all God's people can be seated. Amen. I preached it maybe even last year. I don't remember. It runs together. I preached a message on that passage in the Old Testament where Israel said they could not sing the Lord's song in a strange land and how they had hung their harps in the willow trees and they had lost their song. But tonight's a flip side. Tonight here we are and you got Paul and Silas. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been winning people to God. They've seen people healed. They were on missionary journeys, starting churches, encouraging young men of God. And then they find themselves in a jail, in prison. And they're in prison not like of our day. We're not talking about television and weight rooms and meals, but we're talking about dungy, dirty floors and rats and bugs and filth and cold. And they're there in that prison. And they make a decision. There in that prison, they decide instead of complaining, instead of saying, why would God let us be here? Instead of getting silly, feeling sorry for themselves, they begin to pray and they begin to sing praises unto God. They had a song in the middle of the night. Said they started singing at midnight. Right in the middle of the night, they began to sing. Now here's my question. What makes them different than those that don't have a song? Why is it that Paul and Silas could sing? Now, I want you to understand, maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But there have been times in my life I felt sorry for myself. And you've probably never done that. But you pray for us weaker brethren. There have been times in my life, Brother Don, when I felt like I wasn't giving the Lord all that I should give Him. And I've caught myself letting the devil rob me of my song. So here that night, in the middle of the night, they began to pray and to sing. Why were they doing it? I believe tonight, first of all, they were singing a song in the middle of the night because they were satisfied. Listen to me. Paul said in one of the greatest books of the New Testament, you are to read through the book of Philippians over and over. What great stuff is in that book. Man, if you ever go through a battle in your mind, you ought to get a hold of Philippians 4 and just read it and memorize it. God can help you think on these things. But Paul said these words in Philippians chapter 4. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said, it doesn't matter where I'm at, I'm satisfied as long as I'm serving God. He said, I'm satisfied wherever I am. You know what he literally was saying? Are you with me tonight? He was saying, if I'm in the will of God, I'm satisfied. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm satisfied. If I'm serving the Lord in His will, I'm satisfied. And sometimes the will of God involves placement. And sometimes the will of God involves persecution. But thank God, I'm glad all the time the will of God involves His presence. If you'll stay in the will of God, and you'll stay where God wants you to be, and you'll be satisfied in the will of God, God's presence will be there. Some of the greatest songs you've ever sung. Songs like It Is Well With My Soul. And others were sung after great tragedies. When there were those through tragedy had been through a heartache, and yet they experienced the presence of God. I want you to listen to me tonight. We might take 5 minutes and shout a while. Listen to this. I've been through the death of a father and stood by his bed as his pastor. I have been through the death of a sister-in-law at 40 years old, dying of a brain tumor. I have been through the death of other parents while they watched their children leave this world. In the 25 years I've been in the ministry, I've seen the tears come down people's face. I've seen people so brokenhearted they couldn't even pick their head up. I've seen them at the place where they didn't know which way they turn. But there's one thing I've always noticed. Though everybody else may not know what to say, and everybody else may not know what to do, and there are times as a preacher I didn't even know the words to say, I'm glad for the child of God. There is a presence. There is the presence of God that'll show up in your life. Even if you're in a dungy prison, the presence of God will show itself real. And all of a sudden you'll begin to pray and sing a song in the middle of the night. Listen, can I tell you this? As far as Paul and Silas knew, they were going to die. As far as Paul and Silas knew, they're going to chop off our head, we're going to die. But you know what? They knew they were in the will of God. They knew they were what God wanted them to be. And they were satisfied where they were. I've seen preachers be at a church. And boy, when it's in the glory, man, we just love it. But there's rainy seasons and there are dry seasons. Somebody asked me the other week, said, preacher, how's your church? I said, Baptist. Amen. There are times when we're shouting it out. There are times, as we've seen in the last month or so, 30 people saved. That many joined the church and get to the place where you can't even hardly find a seat. And hallelujah, the Spanish ministry growing so much. And we've had 30 people saved out of Catholicism. And God changed their life. And that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. There still comes dry times. How do you keep your song in the middle of the night? You got to be satisfied. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm not using the word complacent. I'm talking about satisfied. Satisfied with the Lord. Satisfied I'm in the will of God. Can I tell you something tonight? There ain't a happier place to be than slap dab in the middle of the perfect will of God for your life. I'm telling you, when you're in the will of God for your life, that's a sweet place to be. Not only were they satisfied, secondly, they were settled. A lot of people unsettled. Isn't that right? So we're a nervous generation, man. I mean, we're scared death about everything. Lord, the stock market falls a little bit, everybody go crazy. That's right. People start losing jobs. It's almost like we think that the government doesn't do well, God can't take care of us. I got news for you. Our government ain't done well in a long time. Now, I realize the man running it now is really helping it not to do well, but the one before him didn't really do a great job either. And the one before that, hey, but guess what? You're not depending on that crowd. That's not who you're trusting in. Just give your tithe and give your missions and do right by God, and you ain't got to worry about it. Hey, He'll supply your need. He'll take care of you if you just stay with Him. Boy, I've seen God in these last 6 months, year. We had a few people lose jobs and others come in. We had a building we built for almost $1 million behind. Some of you have been in that gym and that building. God's allowed us to take it down to $200,000. It looks like in a year we're going to have it paid off. Let us give $200,000 last year to missions around the world. Allows us to put a staff of 5 full-time, and 4 full-time, 1 part-time, and take care of them. God's allowed us to do all of that in the middle of the economy. You say, preacher, how is that? I'll tell you how it is. We ain't dependent on President Obama. We're not dependent on Nancy Pelosi, thank God. We're not dependent on any of that crowd. But honey, I've got a higher power. I've got a better one. And I'm settled on the fact that if God brought me this far, He's going to take me the rest of the way. And ain't nothing going to separate me from the love of God. Huh? How do you know Paul was settled? I was hoping you'd ask. Because here's what he said in the book of Romans. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You couldn't put Paul in a prison and take Jesus away from him. You couldn't put Silas in a prison and take Jesus. They were settled on the fact that whether they were up on the mountain or they were down in the valley, God was still there. They were settled on the fact that the Lord was going to stay with them. Amen. You know how you keep a song in the middle of the night? The first thing you do, seriously now, is you be satisfied by being in the will of God. Second thing is you get settled on who God is, and God can take care of you, and God can watch over you. I want to tell you something, friend. I don't have a sad story. Let me tell you why. God's been far better to me than I deserve. No sad story. I want you to notice the third thing. Why could they keep their song in the middle of the night? Thirdly, they were sent. You say, preacher, wait a minute. Are you telling me that God sent them, I can say this, God allowed them to be put in prison. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter number 50, you remember Joseph? Joseph said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass. Hey, you know what Job did? Joseph did? Joseph had everybody rat him out. And then in the end, when he had a shot to retaliate, he said, it's been the will of God. You telling me God sent him in the prison? Yeah, I am. You telling me God sent him to Potiphar's house? Yes, I am. You telling me, listen, hey, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe with all my heart that God knew exactly where it was. And by the way, wherever, hallelujah, wherever you're at tonight in your Christian life, I don't care where it is tonight, wherever you're at, God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He is right there by your side. Amen. Won't you listen to this? I think one of the greatest verses about what I'm preaching is found in the book of Esther. Here's what it says. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But if thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know what's happening? Esther, you're here in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Joseph, you're here for such a time as this. Paul and Silas, you're here for such a time as this. And if God placed you there, the last thing you need to do is to lose your soul while you're there. You men of God that are here tonight know exactly what I'm talking about. People pay more attention to you in the valley than they will on the mountain. It's easy to shout on the mountain. It's easy to sing on the mountain. But when you're going through a time in your life and you don't know which way to turn and the only one you can lean on is God and you know God knows your life and your steps are ordered, He's sending you there. I'll never forget when God burdened me about leaving my church in Burlington. I've been there 15 years. Wasn't no problems. No leadership conflict. I'd started it with 13 people in a man's living room. When I left that church, we'd built three times. God was blessing. Had a choir of almost 80 in it. God said, I was done. People thought I was crazy. Matter of fact, there's a few times I thought I was crazy. When I told my wife it was over, my little girl, she's 17 next week, or now, but she's 16 years old that time, about 10 years ago, about 6 years old, she looked at her mama and she said, Mama, let's divorce him and stay here. She was six. People were weeping going out the door, but they wasn't weeping looking at me. They was looking at my wife. They thought, preacher, if you go, can she stay? I thought, hallelujah, they love me. But I want you to listen. I didn't know what in the world God was doing. Then I went to a place. A pastor asked me, would I work with his teenagers and help them in their youth program? I've been a pastor 15 years. You know how humbling it was to go on a staff and be told everything to do. And I thought, God, what in the world are you doing? But I went. 30 precious teenagers out of 50 that started got saved in that youth group. Grew to 110 teenagers on Sunday morning service. But the whole time, buddy, I was just so struggling. but I tried to keep my song. Then God freed me, Brother Don, and He said, I want you to go into evangelism. And I'm going to be honest with you, I really liked it. We moved to Gaffney, South Carolina. Grassy Pond, you ever heard of it? Got us a house over in Grassy Pond. When we walked in the house, it was brand new. My wife looked at it. She said, Chris, ain't no way in the world we can afford this. It was way out of the range. I was just going into evangelism. When I met with the bank, they asked me, said, how much money do you make? I said, I have no idea. The lady said, what do you mean? I said, I don't have any idea. I said, I live by faith. I said, I'm trusting churches. And support began to come in. And somehow in the world, that bank gave us the loan. Through past experience. You wouldn't get it today, hallelujah, unless it was God. I want you to watch. We got into it. My wife had never lived in a house like that. She grew up poor all her life. Beautiful home. Her dad died when she was four. Mama raised her Social Security, stayed home with her and raised her daughter out in the country in Virginia. That's the way my wife grew up. Then gave up a home in Burlington. Now we get that one in Grassy Pond. New development, nice house. I'm on the road preaching, booked a year and a half. I'm thinking, hallelujah, this is good. I can go preach, lamb blasted, leave, and just get out of there. Amen. Then I'm in Thomasville, North Carolina. This deacon calls me, and he said, Brother Chris, we believe it's God's will to call you. Our pastor's resigning, and their pastor was one of my best friends. I already knew he was resigning. And he and I still preach for him in Atlanta today. And said, we believe that God wants you to come here. Will you pray about it? I did never hesitate. I said, no, sir. I said, I won't. I said, I'm fine doing what I'm doing. I appreciate it. It's a good church. I said, but I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm talking about keeping your song. Keeping your song. I was in Thomasville, North Carolina, about 4:30 in the morning. Holy Ghost woke me up crying like I just had somebody die. Spirit of God said, you call that deacon, you tell him, you'll pray about it. I thought I'd ate something disagreed with me. I thought, man, you just have one of them, you've had a nightmare, wake up. What I didn't know was that little bald-headed deacon who was one of the sweetest men on God's earth. He's in glory now. I was by his bedside for 3 hours when he left here. Last three words he said to me was happy, happy, happy. I was by his bedside holding his hand. He said happy, happy, happy. Left about an hour later. Still happy. You know what he'd done, Brother Don? A little bald-headed rascal had one up in the mountains up there above North Wilkesboro. Up in a mountain by himself for 2 days, fasting and praying that God would break me. Sure enough, I called him. I said, Brother Roy, this is Brother Haslam. I'd preached revival for him 2 years, all I knew him. I said, I'll pray about what you asked me about. You could just hear him thinking like he done got a hold of God or something. So here's how I prayed. Lord, I know you don't want me there, but I told him I'd pray. Being honest. Long story short, God broke me so much I called him and went and met with him. And I didn't want to follow Dr. Scott Carter, one of the best pastors in America, and I absolutely did not want to follow him. Lord have mercy, he got honey dripping off of him. Man, I'm rough around the edges. I'm redneck country boy. Man, he's polished, son. I didn't want to follow him. I go home and say, Wendy, we ain't even been in the house 6 months. Baby, it looks like we're going to have to move to States for North Carolina. I said, God wants me down to pastor that church. She just looked at me. I said, you all right? She said, it better be God. You men know what I'm talking about. Your wife takes that tone with you, looks at you, it's serious, man. I came to that church.
I'd been wrestling with what God wanted me to do, but I knew I was sent. And I made my mind up I couldn't be the pastor Scott Carter was, but I could be a worshiper. And now in those 8 years, that attendance has tripled. God's let us build 2 more times. God has honored. Why? Because you have to keep your song. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. They were sent. There's another reason they didn't lose their song. The Spirit of God. No matter where you are, the Spirit of God is there. And then they had a surety. For His anger endureth but a moment, His favor is like. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But I want you to listen tonight why you have to keep your soul. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing. I said they were sent. I want you to watch this. When the walls shook and the doors came open, the man draws back a sword to kill himself, and then a statement's made. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Are you listening? Nobody left. They're all still there. Now I want you to watch. Brother Don, stand up. Where's that new little mama at? Redhead just sung a while ago. She's in the back. Who else sings in here? Who sings? If you sing and you care a tune, stand up. You stand, you can do it. You don't even have to care a good tune. Just help me, would you? Who can sing? You can sing like our sister in blue. Stand up. You can sing. Huh? Lord, no, I don't want you to stand up. Anybody else? Who else sings in this? Miss Myers, stand up. What are you doing sitting there? Stand up. And I want you to watch me tonight. Brother Don, you know the song Amazing Grace? Just right there, you don't have to sing it loud. Just start singing Amazing Grace for me. Join with him. Join in there, bud. Listen. Join in with him. Join in with him. Listen to me. Down through the corridors, keep on singing. Second verse, find your verse. Down through the corridors of that prison. There are prisoners all through there and a jailer. And all of a sudden they hear singing at midnight. And then God shakes the whole prison. And when He shakes the whole prison, everybody could have run. But nobody left. Let me tell you why. Because they heard a song in the middle of the night. And they'd have never been in prison if they'd have had a song. And they'd have never been there if they'd have had joy. But for some reason, they were in prison and they listened to the song. Everybody join with when we've been there. Sing it just a minute. Sing. Listen to me. Keep standing. Listen. It started with one person singing. And Silas began to sing. And Paul began to sing. And when those doors flew open, the reason the Philippian jailer got saved was because Paul didn't lose his soul.
Will you be seated? I want everybody to listen. I'm done preaching. Listen. You know why you can't lose your soul? It's because there's somebody somewhere, Brother Don, that needs your soul. Hey, daddies, mama, your children need your soul. Grandparents, your kids raising your grandkids need your soul. Are you listening? Hey, preacher, let me tell you something, Brother Brackens, I mean this, I've been in there 25 years. When I walk in that building at Calvary, no matter what I'm going through, when I walk up on that platform at Calvary, I got to make sure I've got my soul. Because there are people looking at me that day, and they're watching their man of God. And when I get up in that platform, I've got to have a song. Because some of them have been beat up, and some of them are down, and some of them are discouraged. But maybe they'll look at the man of God, and somehow there'll be a song. You know why the devil wants to rob you of your soul? Because he knows somebody else is listening to it. Somebody else is paying attention to it. Let's don't lose our song in the night. Let's hold on to it. Because somebody down the corridors of the prison is looking over and saying, did you hear that? Who in the world would be happy in here? The doors just flew open. You leaving? I don't think I am. I ain't never heard nothing like that. I think I'll stick around. And then a jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How did he know saved? He heard the song. I wonder how many people are going to go to heaven because you didn't lose your soul. No wonder the devil fights you. No wonder the devil attacks us. Because he knows people are watching. And if we lose a soul, they may say, oh, that wasn't real. I was kind of hoping that was real. Uh-huh. You stand to your feet tonight. I don't know why God's had me the last two nights. Last night I preached on getting past the sting. Tonight I'm preaching on a song in the night. I don't know why. But I know this. God knows who you are, why you're here, what you're going through. God knows who's looking at you. All I'm here to do tonight is preach. I ain't trying to impress nobody. I don't have to do it. Listen, I've got a church that loves me. I don't have to do what I'm doing tonight. I do it because I love churches and I want to see revival. But I'm telling you tonight, if God has put something on your plate tonight, get out of that pew. If the devil's been trying to rob you of your soul, get out of that pew and get out here and say, God, help me not to lose my soul. You don't have no idea who's watching your life. You don't have no idea. Sister, you come play the piano for us. I don't know where's the piano player at, but thank you, ma'am. I see her. Thank you so much. Would you just mind the Lord tonight? Others are still coming. Would you just mind the Lord tonight? Others are still coming. Just mind God. Mind God. You can't lose a song if you've never had a song. If you've never been saved, God give you a song. Others still coming, you just mind the Lord tonight. That's right, just mind God tonight. I didn't say tonight you have to jump up and down going through a storm. I didn't say you had to run the aisles and shout, oh, I'm so glad I'm going through this trial. But I am saying this tonight. I'm saying this tonight. Let the devil know you got a song. And he's not going to take it. You got a song and he's not going to take it. Unusual way for me to preach revival. I don't usually preach revival. Preach more of these type messages. Kind of unusual for me. And I feel impressed to God. Well, I'm ready to see God's youngins get stirred up one more time. Brother Joe, I want to see God's youngins with a song in their heart. Not on the altar praying, I want you to look up here at me and listen to me just a moment. I'll get out of the way. We got an email at our church last week. It's from a man. Matter of fact, I saw one brother here tonight from Gateway. He probably knows him. But it's from a man from Gateway Baptist Church. I was preaching Jubilee one morning at Gateway. And I preached a message on This Is Your Life, and I used a young man in my church is 14, had terminal cancer. One that God healed and we've talked to you about. But you listen. I preached that morning in tears. God overwhelmed that service. I had no idea who was sitting there. I got an email last week. This man and his wife had gotten hurt years ago in church. Been out of church, listen to this, for 20-some years over getting hurt. Somebody got them to come that morning. They didn't have a song. Didn't have no joy. 20-some years they'd been out of church. Timmy's got cancer, gave his testimony. That man said, I sat there and trembled. And I thought that little boy's got terminal cancer. And here I am over some feelings getting hurt, been out of church 20-some years. And went to Brother Ray Stewart. Didn't even know Brother Ray did he visit him. Told Brother Ray God touched him that morning living in Spartanburg. Sent me an email. He said, preacher, he said, we got back here. He said, we joined the church. He said, preacher, we ain't missed a service since that morning. He said, I know that you don't know me. You wouldn't know me if I walked up to you. But he said, I want to thank you for the joy I felt that morning. He said, I realize that God can still stir you. And God can still give you joy. Preacher, I had no idea that day that somebody's watching Timmy's soul. Somebody's watching my soul. But I'm telling you, I won't be that guy's pastor. He won't tithe at my church. He won't come to Statesville, North Carolina. But I'm glad, thank God, he's serving Jesus at Gateway Baptist. And he's got his soul. Don't let the devil rob you of your soul. Get past the stink and enjoy the Lord.